I believe the Lord actually wants to bring a shift in lives tonight. And that's not a cliche that I'm throwing out there. I believe this whole week there's going to be some significant shifts happen. And I'm going to start with a verse from my favorite gospel, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 28. It's only three verses, and here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." And every time he says that, we should pay attention, because he's giving us insight into his world, which is really our world. He's giving you insight into how his realm operates, and this is what he says. Many analogies, this is the one I picked. A man scatters seed on the ground. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. I was in Switzerland on the weekend and I arrived back yesterday, and genuinely, I'm not sure if I made any sense, because I don't know what time zone I was in. My body was there, my spirit was present. Whether they were coinciding at the same time, they were very kind and they were very nice. But one of the things that they asked me on the weekend was to try and explain a little bit about the Kingdom City journey and, you know, some of what's happened with church and the planting and the growth and all of that. And it actually is very awkward. To be really honest, it's very awkward. Whenever I stand at round tables or any pastors' gatherings, and especially when they ask me the question, I have to, like this parable, say, "Yeah, I don't know how." And they're not impressed, because they didn't pay to fly me all the way halfway around the world to stand behind a pulpit and say, "I'm not really sure." I don't know how, but I know who. I know who's building the church. I know who's behind the church. I know who's the author of the church. I know who's the face of the church. I know who's the name we worship in the church. So I don't know how, but I know who. And there's aspects to your ministry and church that there will be a mystery connected to it. And if there's not an "I don't know how" edge to what you're leading, that's something to question. Because if you can explain everything about your church and ministry, it's probably not kingdom. Because this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. He goes to sleep, gets up, it grows, and he's not sure how. Now, I study leadership. I'm into apologetics. I'm not trying to be falsely humble, and nor should any of us be falsely humble and give sort of nondescript answers. There's principles. There's hard work. There's leadership. Absolutely. So don't get me wrong. But there's got to be an edge in what you're doing. If you don't know anything about anything you're doing, that's a different kind of problem. Someone else will deal with that in another session. This is not an invitation to be clueless. This is an invitation to always remain in awe that God is building his church. And there's always an edge where you'll be, "I don't know, I'm so sorry." And then, you know, when they look at me a bit disgusted that I'm giving them such a simplistic answer, I say, "It's God." And then they look at me just as disgusted, because we all have the same God. Then the invitation is there to then make up a whole bunch of principles, which they're probably enacting with more diligence than I am. So it's really comforting to know that Jesus said, "Let me tell you what my world is like." There is going to be an edge to your life, an edge to your testimony, an edge to your journey, an edge to your ministry, where you get to do your part, and it's going to go to places and spaces. And it might not be a church planting thing in your case. It might be your story goes further than you. It might be your legacy goes further than you. It might be your children goes further than you. And you look at the outcome of what the Lord has done, and you'll be like me going, "I don't know how, but I know who. I don't know how, but I know who." And I think that's something we should embrace, that sense of mystery. I'm now comfortable that "I don't know" is a really good answer. Wasn't when I was in uni. But I tell you, it takes the pressure off trying to explain everything to everybody. I found there was more grace to do what I'm doing than to explain it. In fact, the sign of grace, it's easier to do your life than to explain it. Because as you're trying to make sense of it, you're like, "This does not make sense as it's coming out of my mouth. I don't know how, but I know who." So then you're like, "Well, what's the point of this? Like, why do we learn? But there is a line in that whole three verses, and I think this is the part we got to take away. The miracle of growth is God's deal, but the conditions of growth is ours. How it happens, do not ask me. But the conditions that make it possible is our responsibility. And there's seven words in the sentence that I want to sort of deep dive into. It says, a man scatters seed on the ground. Look at the neighbor you prefer. Say, a man scatters seed on the ground. Look at the one you rejected. Say, a man scatters seed on the ground. Simple sentence. A man scatters seed on the ground. The reason I'm fascinated with the sentence is the only part that has our responsibility in it. The rest is sleeping. Even getting up is optional. And there's growth and we don't have an explanation. So I pay attention to the part that I am responsible for. A man scatters seed on the ground. There's a trilogy of application in that literal one sentence. And here's the simplicity of the message. And I feel that what the Lord wants to shift tonight is there are people who are about to step into new seasons. And I don't want to use that too cliche, but you feel a shift is coming in your life. And there is a mystery to the transition. There's a mystery to the journey. And I really believe the Lord is going to awaken something in us. Let's just look at the sentence. A man scatters seed on the ground. Here's the first point. Every pastor and leader is a sower. Every pastor and leader is a sower. A man scatters. This is a person who sows. A man who scatters is someone who sows, not a man who gathers, not a man who hoards, not a man who keeps. A man scatters. You are a sower the minute you decided to become a pastor. The minute you decided to become a Christian, you became a sower. In fact, here's the principle. The kingdom is triggered by sowing. If there's an inactivity in the world that surrounds you, check if you're sowing. I sense in my heart there are people here who have stopped sowing because you are grieved by a lack of reaping. And you have done so much for so long, and you have not grown weary in doing good, but the absence of what you thought fruit should be has grieved your heart. And I believe tonight, even now, the Lord wants to heal your heart, because the minute you decide, I am a sower, I am a sower, God starts supplying seed. We know the verse in 2 Corinthians, he who supplies seed to the sower. He doesn't supply seed to the eater. He doesn't supply seed to the keeper. He supplies seed to the sower. Well, you all know it. We've done it in offering teachings. If you haven't done this one, you can have it. Everyone's done this in an offering at some point. And we talk to our people, but here's the challenge when you're a pastor. We do not ever graduate from being sowers. I am a sower is a great confession. Wake up in the morning and says, I am a sower. See, because we have seasonalized our life, it's easy to think, well, this is my season for this. And I understand seasons, but I'm really believing that tonight, if whoever those people are, that if you're really honest, the sowing has lost, maybe it's not stopped, but you've lost your joy. And I want to pray with you and for you that this would be revived, not just so that, this is no offering at the end of tonight. What this is about is triggering or re-triggering the awesome impact of the kingdom. The only way this whole I don't know how happens is because a man scatters seed on the ground. If he doesn't scatter seed on the ground, there is no mystery. There is no growth. A man scatters seed on the ground. And you know, maybe it's comforting to know this. Whatever you sow is whatever he's going to multiply. He doesn't multiply the seed you keep. He multiplies the seed you sow. And because I'm not doing an offering, everybody can breathe. Everything clenches when you hear this in the context of an offering. Just relax. But this is a posture of life. It's not just an offering thing. In everything, maybe it's sowing into your leaders, it's sowing into prayer, it's sowing into your leadership. You've made a decision to sow by coming to this conference. You've made a decision to sow into your life. But let's make sure we never graduate from a season of sowing as if that's a thing. And I get it. We're all peers tonight. We know the cycle of life in church. We do a thing called miracle offering. You probably do something similar, heart for the house, or, you know, some sort of version of a nice name that doesn't sound media sensitive to basically saying we need everybody to give us lots of money. And ours is called miracle offering. That got us into some trouble, but we too can't bother changing it. So, and every year, Jemima and I look at each other like, oh, man, we got. Now, this is us, honest confessions of a pastor. Like, oh, you know, we're challenging the people. I'm like, we got to do more than last year. We don't have to. And don't get me wrong, we're not under some warped sense of legalism. But I want to tell you that I know what it's like, you know what it's like to lead the way in sowing. And you'd think that after a certain amount of time, I deserve to enjoy the reaping. And yet, I don't know about you, but for me anyway, that never seems to have come. But maybe that's why you continue to enjoy the fruit of mystery, because the kingdom is always triggered. See, you're living off the seeds you've sown yesterday, which means it's easy to predict your tomorrow. What are the seeds you're sowing today? I'm done with discipling leaders. That was in my 20s. I'm done with having people over at my house. That was in my 30s before I had kids. I'm done with, and I understand seasons change. But I am saying, never lose the posture of God. Resurrect the sower in me. Someone say, I'm a sower. You are a sower. Declare that over your spirit. It doesn't matter the hardship you face. It doesn't matter the circumstance you're in. It doesn't matter the city you're leading. It doesn't matter the context you're in. You are a sower. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man who scatters seed on the ground. And the minute he does it, things begin to happen. And you will not know how, but we'll always know who. Amen. And I just really want to sense now. In fact, I don't want to make this awkward, no keyboard, nothing. If you feel like that was you, I was talking to you, you feel grieved from a lack of reaping, I just want you just to close your eyes, maybe put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, you can melt it now. We yield. God, I thank you. You are healing the grief. I thank you that eternal reward becomes clearer in the minds of those who are hurting. And Father, I thank you that not one word that has been declared, not one dollar that has been given, not one year that has been sown is wasted. And I thank you, the eternal harvest of this room, only heaven will know. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what you have done in and through the wonderful people in this room. So heal our hearts, God, that with confidence you would renew the sowing spirit at a whole nother level. Take away the weariness of giving and replace it with the joy of knowing that we get to trigger a kingdom. We get to awaken a realm. God, that we look at our small town, we look at our big city, and nothing is impossible. May we all be men and women that scatter seed on the ground. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every pastor is a sower. But number two, every pastor is also seed. It's seven words. A man scatters seed. Now, you clearly think, well, we're talking about we're the people, we're the farmers, we're the ones doing it. But do you know the scripture doesn't just talk about us as sowers. It talks about he gives seed to the sower. But the scripture does talk about us as seed. If you're a pastor, I'm sure I don't have the credibility to talk to the people in the second row and some of the sacrifices they've made. But you know what it's like to be a sower, but there are people in here, you know what it's like to be the seed. In fact, compared to being a sower, the seed is a whole other level. See, I wanted to be a rich lawyer who funded missions. And then the Lord said, thank you for being willing to sow. Now I want you to be the seed. I want you to go. Do you understand the vulnerability? See, it's one thing to be a generous sower, which is wonderful. We just talked about that. But it's a whole other level of vulnerability to be the seed in the hand that is scattered. It's easier to scatter compared to being scattered. And every pastor is not just a sower. Every pastor is also the seed. And you know what it's like to be sent. You know what it's like to go outside your comfort zone in places and spaces? How many people here in this room were born in Perth? Raise your hand. You were born in Perth. It's about 20%. Who wasn't born in Perth? Let's have a look. What was wrong with where you came from? In a world that is global with travel and all that is happening, guess what? It is a wonderful posture to keep in mind that even as a pastor, you never graduate from being seed in his hand. And in case you think I'm just playing words with a sentence, look at John 12. John 12, 24. This is Jesus speaking. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. Who's the seed in the story? Us. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Verse 25, here's the proof we know he's talking about people as seed. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's clearly not talking about us as the sower there. We're the seed that gets planted into the ground. And if we're willing to be planted, we will produce many seeds. If you thought it was vulnerable to declare I'm a sower, it's a whole nother level to say I'm the seed. I'm the seed. I'll go wherever. We've all responded to altar calls like this at some point in our life. I'll go wherever, Lord. I'll do whatever. We regretted it, but we said it. At some point, you said, God, whoever, wherever, whenever. How many of you that are married at one point said, God, I'll even be single for you? Anyone said that? Be honest. At some point in your life? A bunch of liars. Either that or where's the surrender in the state? At some point, maybe it was just me because I was married at 32. I wanted to get married at 22. There was nothing wrong with me at 22. I was a fine specimen. But you laugh now, but it was 27 kilos ago, not just 27 years ago. I was in the groomsman or best man 9 times. The first time it was a privilege. Then it just started getting expensive. By the end, I didn't want to be there. But anyway. But all of us, see, to be a sower requires generosity. To be seed requires surrender. And everybody in this room should sign up to saying, God, I'll be a generous sower, but I also want to be willing seed. See, here's the thing. When you graduate to becoming a pastor, certainly chief whatever you are in your world, you're like, oh, I was the seed in my 20s, but now I get to sow people. And there's some level of truth to that. But I want to invite all of us, young and old, to the vulnerability of God. In every season, I never want to lose the fact that I'm still seed in your hand. Lord, I get the privilege of scattering, but God, I get the honor of being scattered. Make me a coin in your pocket and spend me wherever you want. God, I want to be willing seed that you can throw anywhere that you trust me to land, and I pray that it will be planted and it would bear fruit. There are people on the edge of new seasons. I feel this in the spirit. I feel like what God is going to renew to you in you tonight is a willingness to do what you did at 20. God, even at 60, even at 70, I'll go where you want. I don't know how. I don't know if I've got the energy. But I love what it says about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He was 100, by the way, so we're all youth compared to him. But he was strengthened in faith, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, God accredited it to him as righteousness. May we never lose the joy and the awe and the adventure of going, God, I'm a sower, but I'm also seed. And listen, if you need an example, how about Jesus? In Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Do you know, sometimes, and I'm speaking from my own journey as well, we can often hold out strong will like a badge of some sort of great leadership. But I want to tell you, it's just stubbornness. And every now and then, you get in meetings like this, you get in environments like this, and you say, Lord, whatever you want from my life. I love the young people who come forward in all our churches and respond like that. But I long for the day where all the 50s and the 60s and the 70-year-olds say, God, I'll still go. My in-laws, James, Pastor James' parents, in their 70s, 60s, late 60s, relocated from Australia to the Philippines. After pastoring and leading in so many different... I want that sort of softness of heart where literally, God, I never graduate from surrender. Surrender is not a season you pass through on the way to now getting others to surrender. There's no cops in the kingdom. Everyone say, I'm a sower. Say, I'm a seed. Lord, help me to be a willing seed. And number three, the last part of this sentence, man scatters seed on the ground. Every pastor needs to be soil. Every pastor is a sower. Every pastor is seed. But it's a good thing to remember that every one of us is soil. Good soil. You know, before I often preach, I'm praying, God, let every heart be good soil. And again, just so you realize, the Bible doesn't just speak about us as sowers in Mark 6 and seed in John 14. Maybe it speaks about us in the most famous parable as soil. You know the story, the four types of soil, Matthew 13. It's early, it's a cue, all right? I'll speed it up. No, it's, to be fair, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, a great guy. Looks like Jesus from The Chosen, but we'll keep going. You're beautiful. You're amazing. Just do whatever you think I need help with. Matthew 13, 23 says, but the seed falling on good soil, here we're talking about soil is us, refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So Scripture talks about us as ones who sow, talks about us as the ones who are sown. But it also talks about us in the most famous of parables, with the one Jesus said, if you don't get this, you're not going to get any of them, that the condition of our heart. In that parable, the sower is not us, it's God. In that parable, the seed is not us, it's the word. In that parable, we get to be the soil. We are the sower, the seed, and the soil. And in this context, it's always important to remember that before you're a shepherd, you're a sheep. Before you're a leader, you're a follower. Before any other badge of honor gets attached to your name, you and I get the privilege of being like Jesus, who, being equal with God, made himself of no reputation, coming in the likeness of man. We have a Savior who modeled what it was like to sow, to be seed, and to be soil. And this is why, I want to honor Pastor Joel for this. I have rarely met a leader who, despite all the challenges and the politics and the stuff that comes with the role him and Sharon have had to carry for the best part of a decade, more than a decade, his softness for God and his desire for the presence. You know, it is one. It's harder the older you get to stay completely fresh, sensitive, pure, good soil. And we've had a president who's modeled that. He could be on an awkward phone call 1 minute and then he's worshiping Jesus with quivering lips the next. And you know what? That is a wonderful model to emulate. It's one thing that we need to continually go after. That, Lord, I'd be good soil in every setting. And it gets awkward in pastors' conferences, let's be honest. You come to pastor conference, you're like, okay, let's just see what they got. Well, they had the clouds on the stage earlier. That's pretty good. Start texting your team, guys, we need clouds at our next conference. And, you know, it takes about a day to warm up, but not our state. It takes a day, okay, yeah, I'll think about it. But, you know, there's something about being in the presence of God. And most of us understand the responsibility of speaking most weeks and at least leading at some level on most weeks. So you carry the weight of being the sower from the pulpit and sowing seed. But never, ever miss your moment from being the soil. I'm so excited. I get to lead it, but then the next couple of days, I get to sit in sessions and be soil. I get to be soil and let the word come from the pulpit, let it land in my heart, because I want 30, 60, and 100-fold out of my life too. I'm not a professional. I'm a seed-bearing plant, but I'm also soil. You know, I had a secular journalist ask me this last year. We did a bit of an extended interview, and at the end, I don't know whether he was impressed or disgusted, but he sort of said, and he wasn't a Christian. He goes, so what's the end game with all this? Like, talking about our Kingdom City journey and all the stuff. And he goes, what's the end game? I mean, Lord, because normally they send you a bit of a clue as to what they're going to ask. This was unscripted. What's the end game, Lord? What's the end game, God? It's not an end times question, I know that. So then all I could think after that was Tony Stark and Avengers. What's the end game? Jesus, what is the end game, please? This being recorded, God, what's the end game? I didn't really process an answer, but this is what came out. I said, listen, and I knew I had to explain it, but it just came out. I said, I just want to be good soil, and I want to be part of good soil. And you could tell he was lost in my agricultural analogy. Clearly hasn't been reading the Gospels. But I said, I just want to have a soft heart all the days of my life. That's all I want to do. The only reason people are following me is because I'm following. I just want to keep that softness of spirit all the days of my life. And I want to be part of soft soil. I want to be part wherever our church is. You know, tens of thousands of new people came to our church in the last 12 months. That's not impressive. What I want to know is, did they come into good soil? When they walked into the atmosphere of my environment and your environment and our life, did they come into soil that just, I can be fruitful here, I can grow here, I can plant my family here, 30, 60, and 100-fold can grow here. I just want to be good soil. I want to have my heart so right and pure before God. And everything else, wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how, but I know who. I don't know much more than I'm a man who scatters seed on the ground. And I'm not sure that I should. I'm not sure you should either. What's the new season part? Well, when you think about being sower, seed, and soil, you think of the Trinity. And you think the Father is the sower who sent his Son, the seed. And the Holy Spirit remains the soil and the culture in which we all grow and nurture 30, 60, and 100-fold, because the fruit is His, not ours. And the idea that even our Trinity is sower, seed, and soil. He's gardener, vine, and He's the environment that literally nurtures the fruitfulness of your life and my life. There's something about this that I believe God wants to reawaken in our heart. And maybe for some of us, this conference is called Wisdom is Calling. Wisdom is knowledge applied. What do I do with this knowledge? Wisdom is, God, in this season, which dynamic of who you are and who you want me to be do I need to revive? Maybe I've stopped sowing and it's time to start trusting again. It's time to release again. It's time to give again. It's time to believe again. It's time to start the discipleship class again. It's time to reawaken something that you buried 7, 8 years ago because you didn't think it had fruit. Maybe it's time to say, God, and this is the vulnerable one, this is what I sense. There are people here saying, God, it's a new season. I'm willing to be seed. I don't even know. You know how scary it is to be seed in the hand of one who scatters. It's not even like it says, it doesn't say a farmer aims the seed. At least if he aims it, you know, have a rough idea of where you're heading. He scatters the seed. I don't mind scattering, but it's a whole other thing to be the seed in the hand of the one who scatters. And wisdom calling is saying, pay attention to the season you're in, because I really believe God has so much more in store. This is wisdom. When it's time to go, don't go, well, I won't, I'll just sow. When it's time to be seed, don't say, well, I'll just pay for someone else to do that. Because wisdom is not one or the other. It's, Lord, what is it for me right now? What are you saying to me right now? What is the season I'm in? Well, this is a conference of transition. There's new seasons all over this place. But what is it, Lord, that you want from me right now? You know how tempting it is as a pastor When you know there's a need, you don't want to be the seed that goes, so we empower. I get it. I had the reverse problem. I remember in 2005, before I went to Malaysia to start Kingdom City, I was at a church in Wangara, which is now Kingdom City, but it was called Lakes, and we were doing a building fund, and I had not had my encounter with the Lord to move countries or any of that, and I prayed, God, what do you want me to give? And the Lord gave me an astronomical figure. I was part of the property market that was actually going up, praise God for those years, and it's back again, but we had 10 bad years in between, but I digress. I said, God, I'm building a house, I'll sell it. And the figure that God put on my heart to give was half my annual wage, 50%. I didn't have the wage to do it, but I thought, okay, well, let's see. And after, long story short, after a year of building this house and turning it over in Port Kennedy, anyone near Port Kennedy? All in a row there, beautiful. The margin after I paid off the loan was exactly the amount for the pledge. Now, I would have preferred a little bit more margin than that, but that's a separate issue. So I said, okay, here it is. Now, what had happened in the meantime between the pledge and the fulfillment of the pledge was I had an encounter with God and my life took a radical 180-degree turn, go to Malaysia, start a church. I'm like, wow, okay, no problem. I was doing that. And then this little nagging voice, God, I'll be seed. I'll go. I was just the sower. But now you're asking me to be the seed? Yes, Lord. And then this little wrestle started. Well, Lord, this little pledge, you know, nobody really knows about it. And you've asked me to be seed. So how about I take this amount and just use it for your glory in Malaysia, where you are calling me to go. Haven't you realized no matter how you articulate the prayers, the Holy Spirit just has a way of cutting through all of that? It's like, oh, instantly no traction, cranking in my spirit, the clunking. I'm like, oh, this is not good. Jesus, don't you know the step of faith I'm taking? Why would I invest? I didn't use the word invest. Why would I waste, I think I might have said, on some place that you're asking me to leave? Little did I know that 2.5 years later, the Lord would ask me to come and take on the responsibility to lead that church. Because in the kingdom, every time you sow, it leaves your hand, but it doesn't leave your life. And that is why this is not a hard altar call to do tonight. That's why tonight is not a hard one to do, because everyone who says, I will sow, everyone who says, I will go, and everyone who says, Lord, whether it's either or, I want to be good soil. See, at the very least, everyone in this room is going to stand in a moment and say, God, I want to be good soil. I'm not here to assess. I'm here, not here to analyze. I'm not here to watch. I'm not here to feel good or bad about anything. I'm here to let seed land in soil these next 3 days. And Lord, whatever lands, let it bear fruit. So I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet right now all across this auditorium. And here's the prophetic moment that I really want to hone into. Thank you, God. I know every heart in here is good soil. In fact, why don't we just for a moment do whatever you got to do to make sure that there's a soft-hearted soil inside your spirit. That's why I love communion. That's why I love singing about the cross. That's why I love saying, created me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Forgiveness, healing, reconciliation, restoration, all byproducts of the Son's sacrifice at Calvary. So even now, just ask the Lord to soften your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's anything in me, God, and just take it out. Remove the thorns. Remove the pebbles, remove the things that get in the way. I want the softness and the tenderness of good soil. We're all soil. We're all good soil. A man scatters seed on the soil, on the ground. Father, let every heart in WA be good soil. Lord, let every pastor in this room be good soil. And you know, in a moment, we're going to worship for a few moments, but this is the prophetic moment that I really want hearts to respond to. It's clearly not for everyone, but it might be a decent number. And this is the word I sense in my heart. It's a new season that you're on the edge of. I don't know what that means. It might be you're starting as something, you're starting a church, starting a campus, or starting a ministry. Or you feel you're coming to the end of something, which obviously our president is, but I'm talking about everybody in the room, not just them. And there's a new horizon. You don't know what it is. You don't know how you're going to get there. You might not even be changing locations, addresses, or titles, but you can feel a shift in your spirit. I don't know who that's in the room, but if that is you, I want you to lift your hand towards heaven right now. There's quite a few, and I would really love it. This is what I sensed. I'm not into altar calls for altar call's sake, but I'll tell you what I sensed in my spirit. This is something the Lord continually reawakens me on. You know, even at my own church, even in our own conferences, I'll tell our church. Church, when there's a guest speaker here, I'm not just your shepherd. I'm a fellow sheep, and I will race you to the front, and I'll climb over you, and I don't care if you're an old lady. Okay, that's a bit harsh. I'm going to fight you because I'm a sheep that wants the water. I'm a deer that longs for God as much as you are. That's not a abdication of my leadership. Don't worry. It's just saying, God, I never want to graduate from being good soil. And for everyone who raised their hands, I'm going to get the team to lead us in worship. And this, I've asked them to sing this song. Make me whatever you want me to be. Make me whatever. I came here with nothing, but all that you've given me, Jesus, make new wine out of me. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. See, it is one thing to bring an offering. It's another thing to be the offering. And to everyone who raised their hands and you feel you're on the edge of something new, here's the point. God wants to resuscitate and revive the sower in you. He wants to resuscitate and revive the seed in you. The spirit of adventure is going to come alive in your spirit. So as Gabby and the team begin to sing this, I want you, wherever you are, if you raise your hand, I want you to come as a prophetic act. A prophetic act. It's not because anyone's necessarily going to pray for you, but the last time maybe you responded to an altar call, because you and I are pastors, might have been a long time ago, but tonight the Lord is calling you into new seasons. He's calling you into a shift. He's calling you into something new. He's calling you into something new.